Welcome to The Point. I'm Mindy Todd. We're living in divisive times, both at home and around the world. Can making space for all world religions and wisdom traditions lead us to a more inclusive, peaceful, and healthy society? The Center for the Spiritual Journey is hosting Building Bridges, presentations about different faith traditions, including Islam, Judaism, Buddhism, and the Wampanoag tradition. Today, we bring together some of the panelists from the Building Bridges talks to learn more about the different faith traditions and how we can move forward with more respect and appreciation for what we hold in common and how we differ. Joining us, Reverend Dr. Kristen Harper from the Unitarian Church of Barnstable. She's also the facilitator for the Building Bridges Talks. Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Nancy Dan is from the Nauset Interfaith Association, who was ordained in the United Church of Christ and later converted to Islam. Welcome, Nancy.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
James Kushner is a Buddhist meditation leader. Hi, James.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me.
You bet. And Reverend Nell Fields from the Wacoit Congregational Church. Hi, Nell.
Hi. Always great to be here.
Yeah. So, Kristen, tell us a little bit more about the Building Bridges talks.
So it started with the Center for the Spiritual Journey, whose mission is to inspire, support, and accompany all who are on a shared journey towards a more compassionate, peaceful, and just world. And so they like to provide educational opportunities and experiences so that people can get to know a variety of different faith and religious experiences. And so they decided they wanted this summer, before anything happened, they decided that they wanted to have this series so people could start talking and learning about one another and try to bridge some divides.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about the overview of the tenets of the different faith traditions you're each representing, starting with Christianity. Kristen, you want to talk a little bit about that?
Do I want to talk about Christianity?
Yeah.
I think Nell could do that better than I, because I'm not a Christian.
Okay. Nell?
I mean, basically, Christianity is about following Jesus, and there's a lot of different ways that people do that. Some people believe that Jesus is the Son of the Creator God. Jesus is Messiah. Some people follow Jesus, call themselves a Christian, and yet they do not necessarily believe that Jesus was divine. But it's basically about following the person that we know as Jesus.
Like many faiths, Christianity has different denominations: Congregational, Catholic, Fundamentalist, Baptist, to name a few. In general, how do different denominations within a faith group view one another? And would you say there's more of a focus on shared beliefs or how they differ?
Oh, gosh, I wish there were shared beliefs. I really wish that at the end of the day that we, if we follow Jesus, we could all look at each other and say, yes, we follow Jesus and we're, you know, all on the same road. It really depends on whether you view yourself as sort of fundamentalist or conservative. If you see the Bible as inerrant, you know, God wrote it, I believe it, that settles it, that type of thing. So it's, in my view, it is really all over the place.
Yeah. Nancy, you have an interesting faith journey. Will you share that with us?
Sure. I converted to Islam about 10 years ago. 13 years ago, or when I was in seminary, I started to have some doubts about the divinity of Jesus. And I started looking into other faiths, including Islam. And the beliefs of Islam just seemed to be more compatible with my thoughts and feelings at the time. You know, at about the same time, my husband and I became very interested in the universe. And we were watching programs on TV about the universe. And I just kept thinking about how incredible the creator of the universe must be, given that the universe is so incredible. You know, there might be 2 trillion galaxies, and each galaxy having 100 billion stars. So for 3 years, I studied Islam, and then I decided to convert to Islam.
So what are the tenets of the Islamic faith?
Well, in Islam, there are the pillars, the practices, which include, testifying that there is only one God and Muhammad is a prophet of God. And then prayer, we pray five times a day. Charity, we are obliged to give 2.5% of our wealth to those in need every year. Fasting during the month of Ramadan, and the pilgrimage, Hajj. One time in our life, if we can afford it and if we are physically able, we should participate in Hajj. And then the beliefs include belief in God, and we have, some people think, oh, Muslims, they believe in Allah, but what people don't realize is Allah is just the Arabic name for God. Christians who live in Arabic-speaking nations, they call God Allah. So we have the knowledge that we have about God comes from the names of God, that God refers to himself in the Quran. And then there are attributes of God that we are supposed to know and believe. And many of those attributes are the same as other faiths, that God is pre-existent, eternal, dissimilar from anything else, that God subsists in and of himself, and the oneness of God. And then there are adorning attributes. God lives, God has knowledge, God has speech, God has will, power, seeing and hearing. And we share the adorning attributes, but not to the same degree. We believe in the angels. We believe in scripture, from Christianity. We believe in the gospel that was revealed to Jesus. And we believe in the Torah and in the Psalms. We believe in the prophets that are familiar to Christians and Jews, Moses, Abraham, Noah. We believe in the Day of Judgment, and we believe in the divine decree. Whatever God wills, that will happen. So those are basically the tenets of our faith.
Are there different denominations within the Islamic faith?
Sufi and Sunni. No, not Sufi and Sunni. Shia and Sunni. Sufi is the mystical branch in Islam. About 15% of Muslims are Shia, and I have to admit I don't know a lot about Shias. 85% are Sunni, and that's what I am.
James, you've been meditating for more than 50 years and were ordained by a Zen master as a Buddhist meditation leader in 2002. Tell us more about the Buddhist religion and how meditation fits into the faith tradition and practice.
Thank you. Although Buddhism fulfills the role of religion in many people's lives, I wouldn't really consider it a religion. It's more a way of life. The Buddha, we follow the teachings of the Buddha, and he never addressed the existence of a God or higher power. He never addressed an afterlife. When people asked him about that, he said, I just teach suffering and the relief of suffering. So you can be a Buddhist and also be a member of any other religion. You can be a Muslim, Christian, Jew, a Baha'i, a Sikh, any religion, and also followed the guidelines of the teachings of the Buddha. He outlined his teachings in what's called the Four Noble Truths. And although there are many different schools of Buddhism, they all believe in the Four Noble Truths. And that's what the Buddha discovered after long meditation. And they are that there is suffering in this world. That sounds like a real bummer to begin your religion, but there are three more that redeem it. And the second noble truth is that the cause of suffering is our craving and desire. And the third noble truth is that we can overcome the suffering and relieve it by letting go of our craving and desire. And the fourth noble truth is the Eightfold Path, or guidelines for a happy life. And I found that since I've been studying Buddhism and meditating and practicing mindfulness, I'm much happier than I was as a child.
So what drew your interest to to this Buddhist faith, and how did it fit into your religious or spiritual background?
Well, I went to a Lutheran Sunday school when I was a little boy, and it didn't really appeal to me. Little too much emphasis on heaven and hell, and I thought, but I just want to be happy right here and now. And what drew my interest to Buddhism is as I looked into it, I discovered that the emphasis is all on being happy in the present moment, and that leading an ethical life is advisable not because you will be rewarded after you die, but because you'll be rewarded immediately with less stress and less suffering if you follow some basic ethical tenets, not killing, stealing, cheating, lying, or using drugs or alcohol. If you avoid those things, you suffer less in the present moment.
Christine, we'll talk a little bit about your beliefs and what drew you to the Unitarian Church.
Well, I was raised Unitarian Universalist. My parents, particularly my father, is a multi-generational, was a multi-generational Unitarian. And our faith really draws on all the wisdom traditions of the world, and which is one of the reasons why I'm so interested in them. But what kept me a Unitarian Universalist is we believe that we can't wait around, if there is a God, for things to be changed in this world, that we must enter into the world so that by human endeavor, human life can be changed. And so I feel really called to help change people's lives and change the lives of communities because it's part of who I am, and I'm interconnected with people and with nature and with the universe. So for me, I'm still drawn to it because of those principles. We're very big on community. Community is where healing, hope, and faith is found. Individual Unitarians are Universalists are Christian, Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, Jewish. So they come from all different traditions, and you're not asked to put away what you believe to be a Unitarian Universalist. You're asked to strengthen what you believe in community.
You brought up a good word there, community, and I think that relates to any religion, right? That it's a community. For some people, religion is passed down through family. For others, it's a choice. Talk about maybe the different ways people find their way to faith. How does our journey to faith influence how we interact with those from other faiths? Anybody? Nell, you want to take that?
I think for the most part, we can either grow up in a faith tradition. We come across faith from our family, from the very culture that we're in. And then as we grow up, maybe start experiencing different things, we start looking at different traditions and say, what works for me? And when you find something that starts working for you, that feeds your soul, that makes a difference in your life, you start asking a lot of questions and then you follow that way. I am very aware in my own experience that I grew up in a very sort of Christian culture, that the culture itself sort of espoused what people would say were Christian ideals. And I kind of went that route, and I had to deconstruct that in order to find my faith again.
Yeah, it's a good. You just made me think of the same thing. I grew up in the Episcopal Church, and right in that same, about two blocks away, was the Catholic Church. My cousin went to the Catholic Church. I went to the, and my grandmother had me afraid to ever step into that Catholic Church. I don't know what would happen if I stepped foot in there, right? So yeah, as a kid, it's interesting how you get these influences from family, but then as you grow up, you have to, as you say, deconstruct, right? Yeah. Anybody else want to add anything to that?
Yes, Mindy, I got it serious about Buddhism. I'd been interested in Buddhism my whole life. I had a little bit of exposure as a young child, and but when I got clean and sober after years of drug and alcohol abuse, my therapist suggested meditation, and studying meditation led me to Buddhism. And when I discovered that one of their tenets was to avoid drugs and alcohol, I thought this fits in perfectly. And so for the last 35 years, I've been reciting the precepts regularly, and that's helped me with my sobriety. And in addition to the sangha that I lead, I also attend a sangha that is based on recovery from drug and alcohol abuse and follows the Buddhist precepts. So that's how I got into it.
That's what I love about this building bridges is that you get to learn, right? And something will speak to you and maybe as you're saying, attract you to that community. Nancy, you wanted to say something?
Well, one of the things that drew me to Islam was meeting Muslims through my son. My son converted before I did. And Mike would study. He did a Fulbright in Morocco. I went to Morocco. He studied in Egypt. He was learning Arabic, and I went to Egypt. And I have to say, I was just so impressed by the beautiful people that I met, the way they value hospitality and kindness. So that was one of the things that drew me. I mean, I know that there are beautiful people in every faith, but I was just so amazed by how kind they were, particularly a doctor in Morocco. My son needed a meningitis shot, and that doctor went from his clinic, which didn't have a meningitis shot, to the hospital. They didn't have one there, to a pharmacy to pay for one, and then to a warehouse to get the injection and give it to my son. And then he invited us to his house, and his wife was making pastries and tea, and he was praying for us. I was just so amazed. I think that the power of the personal kind of interconnection that people have is underestimated. And it certainly meant a lot to me.
Kristen?
I was going to say that I think a lot of people come to faith because they're having a crisis. Either they've had a death, or they're dealing with a diagnosis or something in their lives is stressing them out. So a lot of people at least come through our doors either because they now have children and they want their children to learn moral values in a place like that is open to diversity, or they come in seeking solace and understanding and hope. And so they come in and they learn that they don't have to change who they are, and they don't have to in our faith, we don't have a creed. So you don't have to state that you believe something in order to be a member of my faith. We have principles instead, and it's one of those things that people are in need of something, and nowadays many of the people who are coming to church are unchurched people. They're called nuns, and because they had no faith tradition beforehand, and they're looking for community and they're looking for hope and solace and a group of people who are working to better the world.
There's that word again, community.
I know. And let me, I like what you said. And let me just add to that. And one of the reasons why I love this conversation that we're having and the bigger conversation is I believe we are all searching for purpose and meaning. No matter who you are, no matter where you came from, at some point we start questioning, why am I here? What's the meaning of life? Do I have a purpose? And I think all these religions or faith traditions help answer that question.
We're talking about different faith traditions this morning. 866-999-4626 is our number if you'd like to join our conversation. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. And we'll talk more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. We are talking about faith traditions today. The Center for the Spiritual Journey is hosting Building Bridges, presentations about different faith traditions, including Islam, Judaism, Buddhism, and the Wampanoag tradition. Today, we're bringing together some of the panelists from the Building Bridges talks to learn more about the different faith traditions and how we can move forward with more respect and appreciation for what we hold in common and how we differ. And with us this morning is Reverend Dr. Kristen Harper from the Unitarian Church of Barnstable, Nancy Dan from the Nauset Interfaith Association, who was ordained in the United Church of Christ and later converted to Islam, James Kushner, Buddhist meditation leader, and Reverend Nell Fields from the Wacoit Congregational Church. 866-999-4626 is our number. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. What are your thoughts about the importance of exposing children to different faiths and faith traditions? Anybody have thoughts on that?
I think it's essential. I think in our pluralistic society, just the diversity of our world, it's very important at a very early age that children understand that there are different paths. People are choosing different paths to the holy. And the sooner that we can expose children to that, I think perhaps the better we will behave as adults.
Yeah. Anybody else have thoughts? Go ahead,
well,
Nancy.
We have a teaching in Buddhism that it's not a good thing to force anyone to follow your own beliefs, even your children. So we should let our children be free to choose their own belief system, although we can certainly show them the benefits of Buddhism, but without making it seem exclusive.
Yeah. Nancy?
I think that it's important to expose children to faith, you know, so that they understand that there is something other than this world, so that they have some exposure to, you know, the transcendent. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, when he would pray and, you know, he would bow, children would be kind of climbing on him. And he didn't mind. And I have seen that, you know, with my son and his family, you know, my son and his wife, you know, they are committed to praying five times a day and their children see them pray. And at first, when they were babies and toddlers, they would crawl on them when they were playing. But then they started to try to do the same things that their parents were doing, stand and bow. And now, even the one who is 4 years old, he can say what we call surahs from the Quran in Arabic. I mean, it is just the sweetest thing. Mm-hmm. So it teaches them not just about God, but it teaches them how to behave in this world, how to be the best that they can be, how to be kind and considerate. So I think it's important.
Mm-hmm. Kristen, did you want to add anything?
Yeah, when I was growing up, we had a program called Neighboring Faiths, where we would go to a mosque, a synagogue, a temple, a Christian church, a Catholic church, along with the Christian church, local UCC, actually, church we went to. And we learned so much about how different faiths look, but not necessarily how the people themselves feel. You know, we would talk to the leaders, but still, I think it's really important that young people learn how faiths feel to different people. And so they can see how people are experiencing those faiths. Because it's one of the things is we fear what we don't know.
Right.
And I think that once you get to know someone's faith, like I went to a synagogue a couple times as a young person because I'm Jewish by birth, and just getting to know how people were experiencing and what they were doing and what they were saying was so important to me, because then I didn't have anything to fear. I knew it wasn't my faith, but it wasn't where I was going to end up. But I still really appreciated the strength of people's commitment to, at that time, Judaism. Mm. So I really think it's important that kids get that experience.
Right. Let's talk to Patrick, is giving us a call from Falmouth. Hi, Patrick.
Good morning. Thanks so much for to all of you for participating in this. I just have a question. If anybody would like to reflect on or share your ideas about the reality that in all these faith traditions, perhaps less so in Buddhism, from what I understand, but there's always, I'm not worried about folks like you at all, but there's this dimension of people who have no tolerance for tolerance. And how do we deal with this phenomenon of no tolerance for tolerance?
Yeah, very good question, Patrick. Anybody want to chime in?
Well, I think that when we learn about our own faith and when we learn about other faiths, then that helps us to be tolerant. Is there something in Judaism or Christianity or Islam that tells you don't be tolerant of others? I don't think so. I think if you read sacred scripture, you will find that you are to love one another. So learning about one's own faith and learning about the faith of others, I think would be a wonderful way to enhance tolerance, and not just tolerance, but respect for the other. You have to go beyond tolerance and also having some humility and vulnerability in oneself. That helps as well.
Right. And you, Kristen, you mentioned fear, and many of our responses to each other come from that place of fear, right? And that fear is stoked by politicians and special interest groups. And so kind of to Patrick, how do we cope with the fear we may be feeling and recognize the fear others might experience? Because that plays into this as well.
I think fear is under, you know, it's all about fear, isn't it? Sort of that fundamentalism, people that are so fundamentalists are very sure about what they believe to the exclusion of other people. I think we need to talk more. We need to find more in common. I think it was very funny when Patrick asked that question. We're just silent because it's a tough question, and it's something that we do have to look at, and we have to sit down. We have to be willing to sit down and listen to one another and to find out where people are coming from and find that common ground. This conversation here, yes, maybe it's easy, but what we're talking about are things that we have in common, not things that are uncommon to us. Are we willing to have that conversation with people who consider themselves fundamentalists? I am. Anytime anybody wants to come over for a grape soda at the Pequot Church, because you can't be mean to each other when you're drinking a grape soda.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I think tolerance is learned by listening. And like Nell said, I have talked to a bunch of people who I think would have been considered intolerant, but I listened to them and I asked them questions about what they believe and what they think and why they were intolerant of other faiths and what did that do to them? What did it change in them or say about them? Because sometimes we are afraid. We truly are afraid, and sometimes we don't want to be seen as other or different. And listening to someone, finding out why they're feeling threatened by another person's opinion, perspective, and what does that other opinion and perspective mean to them is really helpful. And in our faith, we talk about acceptance, not tolerance. We used to be very big on tolerance, and we realized that tolerance, you can tolerate someone, but not listen to them or hear what they're saying or recognize them. I tolerate you, but you have to be quiet about what you believe and think. So we talk about accepting people for the fullness of who they are, and understanding that we're going to have different opinions and we still can be in community together.
Right. Nancy?
I think scientific studies have shown that when people work together on a project, when they have a common goal, they can transcend their differences. They get to know each other as people. And Judaism isn't represented here this morning, but I'm going to, you know, step out on a ledge and talk for a minute about a 19th century philosopher, Martin Buber, who wrote a book, I, Thou, and he talked about experiencing the other without their labels, not experiencing a person based on their race or their religion or their gender, but getting to know that person. Who is that person? And that requires some vulnerability. You have to be willing to listen and get to know. And then we can go, you know, beyond tolerance, as, you know, Kristen was saying, we can accept, we can respect, we can love the other.
Mm-hmm. Jim, do you want to add something?
Yes, I have a close personal friend who's a evangelical, born-again Christian, very fundamentalist. And we get together once a week and have wonderful talks. And we're willing to listen to each other. And she believes that because I have not accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, I'm going to go to hell. But we don't talk about that very often, but I know that that's a deep-seated belief, and she's probably hoping she can convert me at some point. But we have so much in common otherwise, and the main impact of her religion and my faith tradition is both that it's beneficial to lead an ethical life and to avoid being untrue and unfair. So we have more in common than that which separates us.
Yeah. We have an email from Mary who says, love this discussion. As a lapsed Catholic who has worked in hospice care for many years, found most of my dying patients ask the same question. Was I loved? Did I show love? Will I be remembered in a good way? There are so many more similarities than differences. We truly are one as humankind. Thank you for this program. As I head in to see my patients today, I'll listen and carry what I just learned from you all if my patient is open to it. Thank you, Mary, for that note. 866-999-4626 is our number. If you'd like to chime in, that's 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org, and we'll have more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. We are talking about different faith traditions this morning with Reverend Dr. Kristen Harper from the Unitarian Church of Barnstable, Nancy Dan from the Nauset Interfaith Association, James Kirshner, Buddhist meditation leader, and Reverend Nell Fields from the Wacoit Congregational Church. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. I've got a note from Pat who says, I grew up in the Unitarian Church, beginning on the west coast of Canada and ending up outside the Boston area. The sixth and seventh grade church school classes were a wonderful introduction to the world of religion. In seventh grade, we studied all the Christian churches and went around to visit them. The next year, we learned about the eight great religions of the world and visited a mosque and a synagogue. I feel pretty well prepared for life with that background. I also find it a nice experience to visit Christian Church in Barnstable. Thank you for that note. 866-999-4626 if you'd like to join the conversation. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. So what should we keep in mind about our own biases, views, or feelings as we engage in conversations with others about differences in beliefs? I almost feel like, Jim, you have these conversations weekly. So what do we keep in mind about our own biases and views?
Yes, we try to remind ourselves in Buddhism of an important question, are you sure? And whenever you think you've figured something out, you should ask yourself, are you sure? And if you say yes, then ask again. So we have to realize we don't have, no one of us has the ultimate answer. The most important thing is to listen. I worked for a while as a chaplain at Cape Cod Hospital, not that it was really work. And at first I was afraid I wouldn't know what to say. And then I figured out very quickly that it's not what you say, it's how you listen. And I think the most important role for a spiritual leader is to listen to others.
Anybody else want to add to that?
I would say why is it making you feel uncomfortable? I think asking yourself that is really important when you're having challenging conversations. I asked myself, why is this making me uncomfortable? What is it pulling in me? Am I unsure of my faith? Is that why I'm feeling uncomfortable? Or does this make no sense? Or is it out of my experience? Why is it making me uncomfortable? I ask over and over. And I think it's very helpful because a lot of times it's about the other person, not about me. And so I don't have to be uncomfortable. It's what they believe. It's not what I have to believe. And I think so often in faith traditions and world religions, we fear that if we don't have the right path, we're going to hell. And because we fear we're going to hell, other people can't have the right path. It can't be true. It can't be right because I'm the only one who can have it, because if I don't have it, then I'm going to hell. And that fear drives us a lot of times. And if we just let go and say, this is what this person believes and how they're having a relationship to God or the universe or themselves or their community, and that's okay.
Yeah, you know, it's funny about that fear about going to hell, because I think we can sort of point to sort of Christianity. We somehow perpetuated that myth. There's no biblical evidence that if you're a you're a bad person or you don't believe, you're going to hell. I think that was a way that people used that to keep people in line. I believe that perfect love cast out fear. Perfect love cast out fear. And when I came to Christ, I'm a born-again Christian, James. I'd love to talk with you. That when I came to Christ, there was this incredible freedom that I finally experienced. That there was a freedom in Christ. There was a freedom in love. And it's in that freedom that I am able to hold open my arms and my heart and welcome other people. We're all on that road. We just want to make sense of this life of ours. And we have such little time here. And if something works for you, God bless you. And I'm going to help you on the way.
Great. Let's talk to Susan, who's giving us a call from Yarmouthport. Hi, Susan.
Hello. It's great to hear all of you speaking, and I know a few of you through your involvement with the Faith Communities Environmental Network, which I co-chair. And I wonder if you could speak to what's the common project, as Nancy was saying, we need to have common projects across our faith traditions, but to help us with all the fears that are so prevalent right now, and deservedly so, around the climate crisis, as well as the risk of our democracy. Is there a common project that you can see as you're working together? And what might you say about that?
Well, Susan, I think one of the common projects is our environment, creation. I think all the major religions, all of the religions call us to take care of the environment. And I also think that we need to feed each other and support one another. You want to know what the common project is? Just look in the mirror. Look outside. Look at your neighbor. We are each other's common project.
Nancy?
I think there are many common projects that we can participate in. I belong to the NASA Interfaith Association, and there are Buddhists in that NASA Interfaith Association, Catholics, Protestants, Jews, and I am the token Muslim. But, you know, we decide on projects to work on. Like we're doing something called Voices of Migrants. And through that project together, we are trying to help people to accept immigrants, to be kinder to immigrants. So there are many projects. And, you know, I think one of the easiest projects we can start to participate in is getting to know one another. I also belong to the Daughters of Abraham, which is a wonderful group. There are Jewish women, Christian women, and Muslim women in that group. And we love each other. We consider each other to be sisters. So, I mean, I would encourage your listeners to step outside of their particular group and get to know someone else who is outside of their group. And you'll find that you have so much in common.
Yeah. Nancy, you're bringing up a really, really good point, and that is empathy, right? So I'm wondering if anybody wants to speak to the role of humanity and empathy as we set off on this journey.
Well, in my tradition, for me, it's all about empathy. It's about compassion. It's about seeing the holy and the divine in each other. And when we're able to do that, I think there is less conflict. You know, if we, one of the great commandments, tenets of our religion, here we go, is for us to love one another and for us to love God. And they're one and the same, because you can't love God without loving one another, and you can't love one another without loving God. That's, at the end of the day, it is about empathy and compassion.
Yeah. One of the things we talk about, every faith and religion talks about love, right? Loving one another. I'm wondering about misconceptions, biggest misconceptions. Probably there are a lot more than we have time for, but if anybody wants to speak about misconceptions that people have about their faith. Anybody? Go ahead, Nancy.
I think that there are a lot of misconceptions about Islam. I mean, I think a lot of people don't know that we revere Jesus. You can't be Muslim and not revere Jesus. A lot of people think of Islam as a very violent religion, and it's not. You know, they're just like in other faiths, there are small segments of people who don't practice their faith, but it looks like they represent their faith, and they don't. And I mentioned one earlier. People think Muslims, oh, they worship Allah. And they think Allah is this different God. No, Allah is the creator of the universe. So I think that those are kind of the major, I would say, in my opinion, they're the major misconceptions.
Go ahead, Jay.
One misconception people have about Buddhism is they think we worship the Buddha as a god. And that's not true. He was just a man. He was a teacher, but there's no divinity associated with him. He's a highly revered teacher who taught us a way of life that relieves suffering. But you're free to follow the teachings of the Buddha and also worship the God of your understanding in any way you like.
She mentioned there's a caller who said they're disappointed that there are not Jewish voices on this program today. We'll mention that we did invite the rabbi who is with this project, but was unavailable today. So, and it's tough. And we do these religious roundtables quite often, and we try to get, you know, different voices from different faiths. And we have had them have rabbis on in some of the previous conversations, but not with this particular project. But we will in the future. So for that
and
call.
The Passover.
And what?
Well, Kristen has a Jewish background.
Yeah,
well, it was, I do.
There you go.
It's also the end of Passover.
Yeah, right. And this is a difficult time, as he was not available.
Time.
Yeah. How are you seeing youth engage with faith and faith traditions in your communities?
Less and less. There's so much going on. We have young ones, and then they'll get to a certain age, and there's so much going on the weekends that they don't engage as much on weekends. We try to have events throughout the year that are on other nights, and they'll engage, but also the youth movement in social justice, which is a big movement in our faith tradition, is huge. And they are out there fighting for the environment, standing up for Black lives. They are building bridges for reproductive justice. They're really amazing young people doing wonderful things.
Yeah. How is their view on faith and the role of religion in their lives different or similar to previous generations? Are you finding that it's different?
I find it's different.
Yeah.
Role of faith in my life was every single Sunday you went to church, your faith community, and that's just not the way it is anymore.
Right.
They have faith that they take with them, right, and the faith in community that they take with them.
Nancy?
In Islam, I think that faith is really central to the lives of most Muslims, including children. Families participate in the faith community together. Families pray together. And there's in Islam, innovation is really discouraged. So the faith stays the same generation after generation after generation. I mean, there might be, you know, changes in the way that people behave. But as far as the tenets of the faith, the understanding of the faith, the principles, that remains the same. So there isn't a lot of change from generation to generation.
Let me just jump in there real quickly. I think that we are faithful people. We have that hole inside of our hearts that we want to fill with something. The youth have that hole inside their hearts. We just don't, they don't go to the same structures as we used to do. So that's a challenge of the faith communities, is instead of waiting for youth to come to us, we need to go out to them.
Right. Lisa's calling from Yarmouth Port. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Mindy. Sorry. Great program. I'm with the Center for the Spiritual Journey, and I co-chair the Spirituality and Social Justice Committee, who is sponsoring this, and we're so fortunate to be working with Kristen. I just want to point out, because it's been mentioned several times, that there's no one representing Judaism. This program is like a snapshot of the forum for May 15th, and there will be Rabbi David Freeland. There'll also be a Hindu speaker, Reverend Abhi Janamachi, and Robert Peters, a tribal member and artist from the Wampanoag tradition.
Yeah.
So besides these four wonderful resources, there'll also be three others that will also round out the conversation.
Right. Lisa, thank you for calling. And we will mention that on the 16th is the forum of the Building Bridges of Everybody, but we also have the May 1st will be the talk on Hinduism. May 8th is the talk on the Wampanoag tradition. And of course, we'll post a link with all of that information at our website, capeandislands.org. Just wondering, we have maybe about a minute and a half left. Any final thoughts? Anybody like have something jumping in their brain they want to share before we have to end our conversation?
Well, I want to say that no matter what journey you're on, no matter where you are on that faith path, keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on.
Anybody else?
I think our conversation has demonstrated that the things that unite us are far greater than the things that divide us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I'd like to say that we're not trying to change people's faith. We're not trying to convert people. We're trying to get people to listen to each other and hear one another.
Right.
And I'd like to say that it's important to support one another, to assist one another in elevating our lives and in worshiping God.
Reverend Dr. Krista Harper from the Unitarian Church of Barnstable, also the facilitator for the Building Bridges Talks. Nancy Dan from the Nauset Interfaith Association, who was ordained in the United Church of Christ and later converted to Islam. James Kirshner, Buddhist meditation leader, and Reverend Nell Fields from the Wakoit Congregational Church. Thank you all so much for being here today and for putting together this conversation. Great for everybody. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mindy.
Thank you.
I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
Point is produced by Amy Vince. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Jenny Junker and Dan Tridle. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter.